How many know we have a lot to be thankful for? We have so much to be thankful for this morning. I trust it's this Thanksgiving season that you find your season of thanks, that you're living in a season of thanks. You know, it's real easy to focus upon our storm, isn't it? It's real easy to focus on the things we don't have and things we need, but Thanksgiving keeps it in check, and we are reminded that we are supposed to focus on the thanks that God has done for us, the things that He is working in our lives. I tell you, that's how you do it. You enjoy the season by remembering what it's about. It's about what? It's about taking time to say, thanks, God. Thank you for my family. Thank you, God, for the things I do have. Yeah, look, there's things we need. There's things we're going through. All of us have things that we're working on and things we all have, our own battles we face. But we're taking time to say, God, it's all right. I'm thankful for, God, what you're doing in my life. I'm going to enjoy this season and give thanks not only for what you're doing, but, God, I give thanks to you this morning. Give thanks to God. If anybody deserves thanks, it's Him this morning. This morning, we're going to continue in our series that we started called Enjoying God's Best in Our Life. We're learning that God has a best place for us and that He is longing for us to enjoy the best things of Him. You know, we have TV at our house, just like all of you guys, and we have two stations that are really attuned into our satellite. We have satellite TV, and we have two stations that are really important to our station. I know some of you are probably thinking, what, TBN and Daystar. I know it's the first thought you have as a pastor, but really my two stations that really are the most important stations on the TV. It's not the news channel. It's ESPN and ESPN2. Those are really important stations at our house. I was watching ESPN a while back, and they had these X Games on, these Stream X Games. Have you ever seen these Stream X Games? They're really popular now. Matter of fact, this building used to be a skate park. The bridge was here, and they had skate ramps running all through here, a big bowl, and had bike ramps and skate ramps, and now they built even a bigger one out there. And as you're watching the X Games, you see even more extremes. These guys on skateboards and bikes doing stunts. I mean, now I consider myself a pretty athletic person. At least I used to be, and in my mind I still am. But, I'm talking about some of you guys, don't talk about my mind. You know, Lloyd and I watched a game the other night. We were standing up watching Web City play. And you know, my mind, Lloyd, I could still get out there and play with them. I was still thinking, you know, if I could just suit up one more time, you know, if I could just, you know, they could use me, you know. I know they're winning 44-0, but still, you know, they could use me. And so, in our mind, I think we can still do these things. But I was watching extreme games, and there's one thing that I can't do, and I have to admit it to you. One thing I really struggle with is when it comes to these skateboards and these ramps, I just can't do them. Roller tricks, I've tried it a few times when I've been around. I used to be a youth pastor for 12 years, so I'd hang out with these kids, you know, and I'd come down here or go to their house and places they had these ramps, and I would be like, give me the skateboard, I can do this. You know, Pastor Gene, you try. Hey, yeah, you know. I can do this. I played basketball, football, baseball, wrestled, and all these things, you know. I can do this. This little skateboard's wheels, I can handle this. I've skied. You know, I can do this. And I get on there, and every time, man, I would fall, and it hurt. And so I watch these guys, and it's a craft that, you know, you have to develop, and these guys are so good. But if you ever watch these guys, I mean, they are just going kamikaze out there. They're out there, and they're going off these ramps that are high as this building and doing flips in the air and landing on their feet and landing on their bikes or landing on the boards, and they're just hitting half pikes, you know, and doing all these different jumps and ramps. I mean, and the crazier they go, the more they just let it go out there, and they go crazy, the higher score they get. And these people are going crazy, and they have these motocross, you know, jumps. These guys are selling, you know, way up there and doing Superman stunts on their motorcycle in the air. You've seen those guys who jump on their dirt bikes, I mean, letting go of the handlebars, and they're 50 feet in the air. I mean, come on. I mean, these guys are crazy. They're letting it go. And I was watching it, and I thought, you know, how would that be if we lived our Christian life that way? What kind of life would we live if we would learn to just give it all? Just give it all to God. I mean, these guys are giving it all. They don't hold back. They're a young generation who's out there, and they don't hold it back, man. They just let it go. They are not worried about getting hurt. They're worried about getting the best score possible. And, man, they're trying to get as much air as they can. They're trying to do as much as they can in their tricks. And I thought in my heart, you know, how much would we be as Christians? What kind of life would we live if we was to set out to God that way? Or we say, God, I know this thing could be scary, but you know what? I'm not going to live in fear of being hurt. These guys don't live in fear of being hurt. If they did that, they could never be in competition. These guys who get feared, they retire because they can't do the stunts the way they used to. They can't do the tricks the way they used to. And so there comes a point when they get either in fear or their body just can't do it, and they quit doing it. But the guys who are doing this competition, man, they are selling out. I mean, they are giving it their all, and they're just going for it. They're not in fear of messing up. They're not in fear of getting hurt. And I thought, what kind of life would it be for a Christian if we would learn to do our same faith this way? We learn to say, God, I'm not going to be in fear of anything, but God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to go for it. I'm going to give you my best. I'm going to give you everything. Last week we talked about possession or retreat, your choice. Possession or retreat, your choice. And we realized that the children of Israel, we've been talking about the children of Israel and how they were delivered from Egypt and how God was taken to a land of promise. And we talked about how beautiful that land was, the milk and honey, and all the signs and wonders, and all the miracles, all the plagues, everything God had done, part of the Red Sea, and delivered them from Pharaoh's army, and all these things that happened, the miraculous signs to deliver his children. And when they got to the edge of the promised land, they said, we can't do it. Wow, these people are big, you know. But yet they brought back this fruit that was taken so big that the fruit took two guys to carry one cluster of grapes. I mean, we're talking about huge. The land of milk and honey, fruit they couldn't imagine, the land they could not even imagine existed. God had a place for them to live, a promised land. And at the many of our lives, we have a land that God has promised us. There's a best place that God has for us. When we get right there to the edge, and instead of possessing the land that God has for us, our lives, our families' lives, for our marriage, for our children, what we do, we get right there on the edge of a breakthrough, and we go back or retreat. We go back and we settle for the second best. We settle for the things that God doesn't necessarily want us to have. We settle for what other things that come our way. And we don't allow ourselves to be pushed just to go that extra. I mean, we're right there. It's within reach. And God's waiting for you just to sell out. Say, all right, just go for it. I don't know if I can do that. Oh, I see it. It's big. And it's a good place to live. Oh, it's big fruit there. Those guys are big. Those guys are really big. And I don't think we can handle it. Man, my problem, I would be right there, but man, if I do that, look at the problem I'm going to face. If I sell out to you, God, and give you everything, I know I will live this life in a land of promise. I know I'll live a life more abundantly in you. But if I do that, God, I don't know what's going to happen here. I see the problems arise. You see different circumstances arise if I do this. And so we concentrate on our problems. So our question is possession or retreat. The choice is you to make. And look what it says here. Last week we talked about this. It said wrong perspectives. We talked about the wrong perspective that they made, and it led to the wrong attitude, which brings about wrong communication and brought about a wrong response. We've seen the cycle of how their bad attitude and bad led to a bad communication, a bad response, and how 1 million people turned overnight. God had done all these wonderful works in their life, and then overnight, when the spies come back, 10 spies out of the 12 said, man, that's a scary place to be. Those guys are big. We'll get killed there. Overnight, 1 million people turned their heart against what God had wanted to do. I mean, you're talking about influence. The power of our words and what we have to say and us declaring our attitude, man, it changes. It changes a society. It changes your family. It changes people around you just by your attitude and your words. And so we see them changing and saying, no, we can't do that. We should go back. And they, boom, it's like that. And so we talked about last week those who didn't possess the land and why they didn't possess the land. This week I want to talk to you about possessing the land and talk to you about more about the thought is going for it. Going for it. Turn to your neighbor and say, go for it. Talking about going for it. We're going to talk more today about Joshua and Caleb and their attitude. Out of the spies who went to the land and came back with a positive report, it was Joshua and Caleb we see where they brought back the positive report. Joshua and Caleb's generation, they inherited the land. Joshua and Caleb's generation, they inherited the promise of God. They're the ones who inherited what God had for them. But it was the other 10 who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, was not allowed to go and possess the land. Their generation died off because of their hardened heart, because of their bad attitude, because of the things they spoke against God, things they spoke against Moses. Their doubt and disbelief, they did not inherit the promised land. But it was Joshua and Caleb's generation, those who were with him, because of their good report, that God allowed them to inherit the promised land. Before we do that, I want to read something to you. This is not on your overhead, but I want to read it to you. Ephesians 3:20 says this. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able, he's talking about God, who is able to exceedingly abundantly, above all things we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now to him that is able to do abundantly above all things, according to the power that is in us. Now this morning, I want to ask you something. Let's read this again. Now to him who is able to exceedingly, we're talking about God. Now to God who is able to exceed, everybody say exceed. He's able to exceed abundantly. He's able to exceed in abundance above all we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Now, this is the problem I think that many of us have this morning as we think about things in our life. That if we come to God and say, God, I am thirsty. I need of you. I need a blessing of you. I need something of you. That's what we do. God, I'm thirsty. I need this. And we bring, this is what we bring to God. God, I need my cup filled. God, I need this. God, this is what I have need of. God, this is what I need of you. And we bring our cup to God. And this is the problem with many of our faith today is that this, that God is not wanting to do this. God's not wanting to feel this. God's wanting to feel a 55-gallon drum. I mean, God has got it, man. God is, he is able to do more exceedingly abundantly, more than we can think or imagine. Because you realize if I, God, I don't want just you to fill my cup, but God, I want you to give me an abundance, God, of what you have for me. Why? Because if he fills this up, then I can take this and I can get a drink. And I can take this, and I can give you a drink, and I can give you a drink, and I can give you a drink. And see, there's a place that God has for us, a blessed place. And God says, listen, he says, I am able to do abundantly, in abundance, more than what you think or even ask. And the problem, one of the things that stops us from enjoying God's best is that we don't dream big dreams. We have small dreams. We have small thinking. We allow ourselves to be influenced by small things. We only see our life right here. We only see God's blessing right here. We only see what God has for us right here. All of our promised land lives right here in this cup for many of us. That's the thinking we have. That's the mentality we have right here. I mean, we're really big thinkers, aren't we? God, can you just do this right here? God, you know, and God said, listen, I want to do more than this right here. I mean, what are you bringing to the table? Are you bringing a small expectation or do you bring a big expectation to God? You're able to do it more abundantly above all I could ever ask or believe. He has that kind of promise in our life. And he asks us that question. Our God is big enough. Listen, don't limit him with your small thinking. Don't limit him with your small dreams. Have big dreams. Dream big dreams. Give it to him this morning. Allow him to do that. We're going to talk about Joshua and Caleb today. And we're going to see the expectation they had on their life. And we're going to open up this morning. We're going to read our text. If you want to turn to Numbers 13 and 14. Numbers 13 and 14. We're going to pick it up here in verse 30 of Numbers 13. And it says this. And then Caleb silenced the people before Moses. And he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their face in front of the whole Israelite assembly. We're going to skip to verse 5 of chapter 14. It says, then Moses and Aaron fell on their face in front of all the assembly there. They gathered there, and Joshua, son of Nun, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will give us this land. He will lead us to this land, a land of flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us, only not to rebel. Listen, only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because he will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. I'm going to give you six characteristics today of those who possess the land. We see in the scripture here, this text, there's six characteristics of those who possess the land. And we see here in verse 30, Numbers 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up, take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, we can do it. Say, we can do it. We see here in the first characteristic they had was they had a winning attitude. The first thing they possessed here, Caleb and Joshua, they had a winning attitude. We see our attitude can give us, let me give you some things about our attitude. Our attitude can give us uncommonly positive outlook. We can have a positive outlook that's not common to everybody else by our attitude. That God longs to give us a positive attitude. And when you want to possess the land, you've got to change the way you think. Last week we talked about the negative attitude. This week we're talking about a positive attitude, a winning attitude. You got to think that you can do it. You know, before you ever go to a game and play a game, you got to think you're going to win or you're not going to win. It doesn't happen. I don't care what kind of sporting event you've ever been to. If you don't think you have a chance, don't even show up. Don't even go. But in your heart, you got to think, I can win. We can win. And being a person who's going to possess the land, the promise that God has for you, you got to change your thinking and think, you know what? I can't do it. But you know what? I can do it. I can possess the land that God has for me. I can have a better marriage. I can be a better father. I can be a better mother. I can be a better wife. I can possess the place that God has for me. I can do these things. I can be the place of ministry God has placed me to be, has called me to be. I can do these things. It starts with our attitude, a winning attitude. The second thing here is this mentality secret, okay? Shh, don't tell anybody this because this is a little secret that pastors don't like to tell everybody. But let me tell you something. Our attitude is not automatically good just because we're a Christian. Do you realize just because we're a Christian doesn't mean our attitude is automatically good? We don't automatically wake up because you know, we accepted God as our Lord and Savior. I'm a Christian now, and now my attitude's changed overnight. No, you realize that doesn't happen? Well, it should. Yeah, it should, but it doesn't happen, does it? Listen, I know a lot of people who have bad attitudes outside the church and inside the church because we realize it's an attitude. Listen, attitude is a choice. Let me say it again. Our attitude is a choice that we make. Our attitude is a choice that we make. I can choose to have a good attitude, or I can choose to have a bad attitude. And I've done both. Please, honey, no comments, okay? I've done both. I've experienced both in my life. I can remember growing up before I met the Lord and before I really was sold out to God. And man, I could choose to have an attitude if I wanted to. Boy, I'd fight you at the drop of a hat. And when I became a Christian and I began to serve God, I knew that God was speaking to me. You know what? You get a bad temper. You need to choose to be patient. You need to choose to have a good attitude. And I would see the worst in people, and I would see the worst in things. And I remember over time, I began to choose to say, you know what? I'm not going to be such a hothead. I'm going to choose to settle down. I'm going to choose to have kinder words. I'm going to choose to be more patient. See, our attitude, we can choose that. And it didn't happen as soon as I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It didn't happen as soon as I said, God, I'm going to change. It happened when I made a choice because I knew what God was calling me to be. I knew what God was calling me to be. I knew there was a place he had for me in ministry. I knew there was a place he had me to live as a Christian. And I knew there was a place that I wasn't at. And so I chose to have a good attitude. I chose that I was going to be more patient. I chose that I was going to be a winner in Christ. I chose these things. And I choose these things. It doesn't happen just because you're a Christian. Our winning attitude is a choice. And let me tell you, this is such a great story as we see the prodigal son. We've heard the story about the prodigal son, and we always preach it about the prodigal who went away, and he squandered all of his dad's possessions and his inheritance. He said, Dad, I'm ready to go out, give me my inheritance early. I'm my own man. I can do my own thing. He goes out, and because of prodigal living, he wasted, you know, on party lifestyle, and he finds himself blowing all of his inheritance, blowing all of his money, while his brother stays back and is taking care of the ranch and living with his dad and having a good life. He's Mr. Independent, goes out there and spends everything he has. And, of course, we find himself in the pig's pen. In the pig's pen, he finds himself repentant and says, I can go back and eat better than this with my dad. And he goes back home, and he asks his dad for forgiveness, and his dad runs to him, you know, and just puts so much grace upon his life and doesn't even, you know, hesitate 1 minute. He's putting the best robe on. He's giving the ring back to him. He's just there loving his son. And so it's such a great picture of the grace of God for our life. But many times we forget is the second story of the older son. He was there. And the second story of the older son, we find the older son doing this. He has stayed at the ranch. He had worked. He hadn't squandered all of his inheritance. He still had his inheritance. He stayed with dad. He was helping dad out. He didn't just take off with prodigal living, but he stayed behind. And so they're having this big party. I mean, they are partying it up like it's 1999. They were going after it, man. They were, you know, I'm sure Prince was playing there. He was going, the whole thing was happening. I mean, they was partying up. He said, take the best calf, the fatted calf, kill it, man. My son's returned home. We're going to have a party. I mean, they are partying. They are having a great feast, a celebration. I mean, Thanksgiving won't compare to this party these guys were having. And what happens? We see the other older son, what's he doing? We find him outside the party. And his father goes to him and says, what's going on here? What's wrong with you, son? And we see his attitude. Well, Dad, I never left you. And Dad, I work for you. And Dad, I've been faithful. And Dad, oh. Basically what he said, Dad, this stinks. See the attitude he chose to have? He had a bad attitude. He had a negative attitude. He chose. And what happened to him? He was outside the party. Everybody else is enjoying the party. Everybody else is enjoying the celebration. Everybody else is enjoying the fruit of the labor of the land they had had. They had this big feast celebration. I mean, it was big. And because of his attitude, he's outside not enjoying it. You see, he made a choice to harden his heart. He made a choice to have a bad attitude. He made a choice to resent his brother. And what did it cost him? He found himself outside the party. I mean, listen, when you choose to have a bad attitude, you'll find yourself looking in. When am I going to get mine from God? When am I going to get this from God? When's God going to do this for me? And when am I going to? You sound like my four-year-olds. I got twins and a four-year-old, and they act that way. I never get to go. You know, their whole life is that story. My Hayden, he says, all day I never get to go. All day. Everything is all day. All day. He's four. But many of us, we still act that way. We choose. See, it's a choice. Our attitude is a choice. You got to choose. I'm gonna do better. I'm going to choose to have a good attitude. I mean, Caleb and Joshua, they seen the same giants that were there. They seen the same obstacles that were there. But they chose to have a good attitude. They chose to see the good that God was wanting to do there. The third thing about our attitude we see is the right attitudes will, listen, our right attitude will bring a right focus. Right attitudes will bring a right focus. Everybody say focus. Focus. Right attitudes bring right focus that will produce right actions, that will generate right results. I mean, we talked about last week a little bit this focus thing, that when we have a good attitude, we choose the right attitude, it helps us choose on the right focus. And see, if I have a good attitude, I'm back in the house celebrating because my brother's made it back home. That I'm restoring my relationship with my brother, that he is coming back into the grace that my father has given him, and that Dad is not making him just sit out there, but Dad has accepted him back, and God, Dad has forgiven him. I mean, the right attitude is, man, great, I got another hand around here. I'm tired of mowing this yard by myself. Thank God, you know, hallelujah, I see the good in this. But see, the bad attitude separates me from the party. And so I got to choose, and when I focus on the right things, you know, this focus is such an important thing. I was talking to Chris last week. We were talking about me being in Hawaii, and she's been to the same little hiking trail up there in Hawaii, and we're talking about it. They call it this Diamond Head. Is that right? Diamond Head, this Diamond Head hike. And these guys in Hawaii, they said, come on, we're going to take a little hike. It's about 15 minutes, you know, no big deal. It's got a good view. I'm like, all right, I can do this, you know, but I'm running shoes on. I'm out there, you know. Pastor Gene, he's up for this. 15 minutes, I can handle this. They lied. It wasn't easy. You know, it always, we're running, they're running, I'm keeping up with them, you know. They're not going to see me, and pretty soon we're getting going. And it gets steep, and you're still going, and you're hiking, and it gets steeper, and you know, and you get about halfway up the mountain, and man, your legs begin to burn. Your lungs are hurting because you can barely breathe. And everything is such a hike. It's up this hill and up this mountain, and you're going like this. And if you look, this is why I made a mistake of doing this one time. I looked up to see how far I'd gotten. And all I could see was a trail that's going like this, zoom, 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 zoom. I couldn't see the end. And when I looked on the trail ahead of me, my legs burned even harder. My lungs burned. And I was like, oh. You know, I'd be like, oh, I can't do this. I want to stop. So you guys go ahead. You know, that's just not worth it. You guys, this is crazy. And then someone come past me, you know, on the way down. I'm like, hey, 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 almost there. Yeah, yeah. You know. But I found when I looked on the problem that I couldn't do it, really. But what I would do is I keep my head down, and I'd have to run, just thinking, all right, just get a few more steps, a few more steps. And I concentrated on a few steps in front of me, the positive. And I keep, and pretty soon I got to the top. And when I got to the top, you know, was there? Hundreds and hundreds of stairs. This is no lie. You get to the top of this mountain, then there's hundreds of stairs you got to go up. I mean, as far as you can see, stairs, stairs. And then you know what? You get to the top of those stairs, and you go through a dark tunnel. You think, all right, I'm going to come out at the end of this dark tunnel. You come through the dark tunnel, and you know what happens? You find more stairs. Chris, am I lying? It's more stairs. You know how I get up these stairs? I look at the top. There's no way I can get the top of those stairs. My feet are burning. My legs are burning. I can barely breathe. Someone called the helicopter. A helicopter passed by, and I was like, hey, pick me up. But I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I just began to put my head down. I looked at the next step, the next step, the next step, the next step, the next step. And pretty soon I found myself at the top. And I was like, ah. And I get up there. It's a beautiful view of the city and the ocean. And I think, you know, this wasn't worth it. really. It wasn't worth it. I could have bought the postcard. That's my honest thought. But you know what? I made it to the top because I focused on the thing right in front of me. And the same thing happens. We choose to focus on the negative. You choose to focus on the problem. They chose the 10 spies. They chose to focus on how big those guys were and how hard it was going to be, and they could not do it. Instead of choosing to focus on, you know what? God has brought me out of so much more. God has delivered us from so much. I'm not going to focus on the problem. I'm going to focus on the source. I'm not going to focus on the problem. I'm going to focus on the answer. That God is my source. That God is my strength. That God is my victorious God. He shall lead me. He shall let me possess the land that I have. And see, when I focus upon God, it changes my attitude. I choose to focus on the good. I make a choice to focus on Him. Right attitudes bring back right focus that will produce right actions that generate right results. The second thing we see here they possessed was a passion for the assignment. They had a passion for the assignment. Look what it says in Numbers 14:6. Wow. Let's go to that. Put that up here, please. Numbers 14:6 says this. It says, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, says they tore their clothes. Now, why was that important, they tore their clothes? What were they doing? I mean, it was showing the passion these guys possessed. I mean, they were there, and they were like, you know, we can do it. Guys, we can do it. We're choosing to believe. We can do it through God. We can do it. And it says the other 10 spies are like, yeah, but you know, those guys are giants. We can't do it. Let's go back. And they were so passionate about what God had called them to do, what God was giving them the land. So they began to tear their clothes and be like, ugh. They were trying to make a point. It kind of reminded me of the 60s, what I was thinking of, you know. I remember the 60s when people would be out there, you know, doing these. They were so passionate about the anti-war movement and all these things. You know, they were out there. They were doing all kinds of crazy things. I mean, they were passionate people, wouldn't they? How many of you lived in the 60s don't remember that? You don't talk about some passionate people out there doing some crazy things because they were passionate. I mean, Joshua and Caleb, they were passionate about what God had spoken to them. And they began to tear their clothes. And listen, there's got to become a passion in your life. When you want to get to the land that God's given you, when you want to walk in the promise that God's got for your life, you got to deal with passion. There's a passion that comes for the assignment that God has given you. Listen, you will never excel in a God opportunity unless you have passion for the assignment that moves you to consistent and persistent action. Listen, if you're not consistent and persistent in what you believe, you got to have passion in what you believe. They were passionate. God will. God will. God will. We can. We will. Through God. I mean, they were positive people, positive attitudes, believing that God would do it. And never did they speak negative. Well, we see them speaking the positive. And they were so positive, they were passionate about their assignment. We will, guys. Listen, we're going to do it. Listen, it's so important. We're not going to give up. Let's do this thing. They were trying to get their attention. They were tearing their clothes and listen to me. Listen, God will take care of us. God will give us this land. They were passionate. Passion for the assignment that they had. That's number C, we see where they were passionate for God. They had a passion for God. Not only were they passionate about their assignment, they had a passion for God. Numbers 14:8 says this, if the Lord is pleased with us, that's what they're saying. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. This is Joshua and Caleb speaking, man. If God is pleased with us, he's going to give us the land. They were passionate only about their assignment, but they were passionate about their God. And we see this in their life, and they were always put God first. We see where they put God first in their life. Joshua and Caleb, they always put God first. They were passionate for God. Deuteronomy 1:36 says, it says, I will give Caleb. This is God speaking. I will give Caleb and his descendants the land he set his feet on because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, Joshua and Caleb were the two who took the generation into to the promised land to possess that. But what do we see about their life? We don't see, there's a ton of things written about Joshua and Caleb. There's a lot there, but, you know, we can see some things that are very evident about their life, and we can look back and see where their name is mentioned and see why it was important and what God led them to. First of all, it says here that Caleb, he loved God with all of his heart. I mean, that was very evident in his life. Why was he different? Why did he possess the land? Because he loved God with all of his heart. Listen, if you want to get to the place of inheriting the land that God has for your life and my life, we have got to learn what it means to give God our whole heart. We've got to learn what it means to give him, be Lord of our life. We're learning to love him with all of our heart, learning to love him with everything we are. We give him all of our heart. And we see this in example. We see this, first of all, in Joshua's life. I was looking and reading in Joshua's, and we see where Joshua's mentioned in Exodus 33, verse 11. It says where Moses went to the tent, and what they did was they set these tents, and they called them the tabernacles. They set these tabernacles up, and God's presence would inhabit that tabernacle. The cloud of his glory would come and inhabit that tabernacle, and Moses and the priests would be there, and they would hear from God, and God would speak to them. And we see where God had a God moment, and God was there speaking. I mean, the glory of God went and rested. And it says that all the men began to fall on their knees at the front of their gates of their tents and began to worship the Lord. And God spoke to Moses. I mean, there was a God moment happening. But there was something that happened at the end of that verse that caught my eye. And I've read it before. I didn't necessarily catch on what it meant here. But she looked at this. He says, but Moses got up and he walked away. And everybody got up and after it was over with. And they left that meeting. But it says Joshua, but Joshua. It says, but Joshua stayed at the tent. And in my heart, I believe that, you know, Joshua, did he stay there because he just wanted to be there? No, he stayed there because there was a passion for God. God was there. God was moving. God's presence was there. The glory of God has settled in that place. And he has such a passion that when others got up to leave, he couldn't do it. And others got up to leave, and he was still there longing for the presence of God in his life. Listen, there's a passion for you. Listen, God has a passion that he wants to come out of our lives. That when you want to go to the next level, when you want to receive from God the things that he has for you, the promise, there's got to be a passion that comes into you and says, you know what? I just got to be with God. I just got to have more of God. Sunday morning just isn't enough. I got to learn to develop that time on Monday, and I got to have it on a Tuesday, and on Thursday. Sometime my day I got to have the presence of God. God, I long to be with you. See, when a passion begins to stir in you for that, things change in your life. When you find yourself saying, you know what? I want a passion. Listen, and God's got a land he's got for you. He's got a promise he has for you. But it comes when we get a passion for God and the things of him. And Caleb, we see in Numbers 14:23, and he said this. He said that, you know, Caleb has a different spirit. He said, I'm going to give Caleb and Joshua the land. He said, and Caleb, I'm going to give him the land because, you know what? His spirit is different. So I began to study Caleb. What does Caleb mean? What was different about Caleb's spirit? We don't see a lot really written about Caleb there in the Bible. And so if we really have to get to find out more about Caleb, we do some word searches, and we dig deep, and we look at the root of his name and what it means. And if we study out the original meaning of the root of Caleb's name, you know what Caleb's name actually means? It means dog. It means dog. Caleb's name means dog. How many like to have that for a name? You know, it's out there, you know. His name, man, dog. And as I began to study that and think about that, you know, in my heart, it said Caleb had a different spirit. I believe Caleb had the spirit of a dog. And say, Pastor Gene, what's so attractive about that? How many has ever had a dog? How many dog lovers here? Let me get a dog. How many know, what is a dog? First and foremost, what is a dog? He is loyal. I mean, a dog is loyal. How many ever tried to take a bone out of a dog's mouth? You ever done that? Try to take that dog. How many had a favorite toy or a bone that dog had? And man, you try to take that thing away from that dog, what happens? You know, they growl. I remember my friend had a dog, and my dad, he wouldn't let me have a dog. And I would say, oh, you know. So I went to my neighbor's house and played with his dogs all the time. I remember he had this dog, and he had this old rubber toy, man, that he would not let go. And I'd tease him, and I'd reach out, and I'd grab that toy, you know, and I'd grab it and pick it up to the point where I could actually pick him up and hold him up with the toy, and he would not let go. He just locked on that thing. You know what he'd do when I'd go to pick it up? I could pick that thing up, and he'd go, and he'd growl. He would not let go of that thing, and I'd shake, and he would growl at me and not let go. See, Caleb had a passion in him. There's a passion in him, I believe, in Caleb's heart. We see here, he had a different spirit. He knew who his God was. He had seen what God had done. He has seen the signs and wonders. He has experienced the grace of God. He has experienced, you know what? I am not going to let go. I refuse to let go of the promise that God has for me. I refuse to let go. And Caleb had a spirit, a different spirit. There was a passion in Caleb's life that said, you know what? I'm not going to let go of the promise that God has for me. I don't care if these other 10 spies, these other 10 guys, what they say. I don't care. He'd be in the river's closet. I am not going to give up. We can do it. I am not going to let go. I did not come all this way to go back. I refuse to go back and be a slave. That's what he's saying. I refuse to go back and work for Pharaoh any longer. I am not going to do it. I'm going to take the promise. You can do what you want. And Joshua said, hey, you do what you want, but for as me and my house, we're going to serve God. As for me and my house, we're going to possess what God has for us. And see, there comes a tenacity in you at times. You got to allow that spirit of Caleb to rise within you and say, you know what? I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go of the promise that God has for me and my family. But I'm going to hang on to it. I'm not going to let it go. There's a different spirit. Receiving a promise, there's a passion for God that must arise within our hearts. There's also a dependency, a God dependency. Numbers 14:9 says this, only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will, what to say? We will what? We will swallow them up. Talking about faith, look what he says. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. We will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord, he is with us. He was saying this. He said, do not rebel against the Lord. He was saying, listen, you got to be dependent upon him for everything. We must be dependent upon God. How do we show dependence on God? Number one, God is love. His will is always the best. We've got to realize what? That God longs for the best for you and I. We've talked about this over and over. Listen, God's will is for the best. God's will is for you to live in the promised land. God's will is for you to live in a different place than you are now. God has got, for every one of us, a better place for us to be. And it is the best. I don't have to question that, realizing that his will is the best. God is all-knowing. Saying God is all-knowing. Being dependent upon him. What? He is all-knowing. His directions are always right. His directions are always right. When I'm dependent upon God, saying, God, no matter what you say, no matter what you tell me to do, no matter where you lead me, God, you know the way. God, you know the answer. God, you have the source. God, you are taking me to a place. I am totally dependent upon him. His directions are always right. God never leads me in a wrong path. It's against his nature. He cannot lead me in the wrong way. So I'm dependent upon him because he directs my footsteps. Only he, when I walk my own way, that's when I get in trouble. That's when I fall. That's when I retreat. But when I walk the way of the Lord, when I become totally 100% dependent upon him, I realize he is all-knowing. His ways are better than my ways. And he's all-powerful. Wow. He can enable us to do his will. He will enable me to do what I cannot do on my own. What's the other thing they had here? We see Caleb and Joshua. They had courage. Numbers 14:9. We just read it. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid. Wow. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because they will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. They had courage. Listen, they had courage. And the problem is us. We don't have courage. We have fear many times. And fear robs us. Number one, fear robs you of your faith to believe for the miraculous. Fear will always exaggerate the obstacles. And fear will always have you in a retreat mode rather than a possess mode. Fear robs you of your faith. Listen, God does not give us what? A spirit of what? A fear. It's in his word time and time and time and time again. God does not give us fear. And listen, if we're not careful, we'll sit around and live in fear all of our life. Listen, every one of us will sit around and live in fear all of our life. What are we going to do here? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen the next? And you know what happens? You live your whole life in fear. And God did not give me a spirit of fear. I've made a choice in my life that I would not worry about anything today, that I can't, listen, if I can't take care of today, then I don't worry about it. I don't deal with it. I got problems that may come up next week. I don't worry about it. You know why? Because I can't do anything about it today. I have to give it over to God. So if I can't handle it today, if I can't do anything about today, I don't allow myself to sit around and worry about the things that happen next week. Now, we're still learning that as a family. We're still learning to do that as a whole. But we're learning to do that. But it's not always easy. It's a choice that we make. You know, I'm not going to sit around and stress about what's going to happen next week. I'm not going to stress about this. I'm going to if I do this, I do that. No, I don't refuse to live in fear. If I do that, then I allow fear to control my life. I'm not giving God everything. But God says, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Joshua and Caleb had courage. They had faith. Fear will exaggerate. You know that? Fear exaggerates things. It makes the things look bigger. And the last thing we see here is perseverance. Joshua and Caleb had perseverance. Joshua 14, verse 10. Let's read it together. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive. This is Joshua talking. This is 45 years later. He's getting to get ready to inherit the land. He says, now then, just as the Lord has promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses. While the Israel moved about in the desert, so here I am today, 85 years old. That's what he's saying. I'm 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out to be a spy. I'm just as vigorous today to go out in the battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me. That day, you yourself heard that when the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Wow. You're talking about something that he possessed? Joshua had a perseverance. He was saying 45 years ago, God challenged me to fight these guys, and he's going to help us, give us this land. 45 years have passed. He's now 85. He says, you know what? I feel just as good today as I did then. Kind of like I was telling you about it. You know, I was still on the field. You know what? I can put those pads on. I can do it. You know, whether or not I could or whether or not Joshua could, it wasn't about what he could do. He knew it was about what God could do through him. It wasn't about that he had lost 45 years and he wasn't as strong a warrior as he was 45 years ago. It was about, you know what, God gave me a promise, and I'm going to stick to that promise. God gave me a promise, and I'm not letting go till I obtain the promise that God has for me. If God said I could have that hill, if God told me I was spying the land, this is going to be my pot of land, I'm going to have it right now. God is going to give it to me. I am going to take the land that God has given me. There was a perseverance there that we see evident in our life. And listen, in closing today, you realize this, that there's got to be a perseverance in your life to obtain the promise that you're going to have obstacles coming your way. You're going to have problems coming your way. But when you enjoy God's best, there's a perseverance that must rise within you that says, I'm going to sustain no matter what. I am not going to give up. I refuse to give up. I'm going to keep going forward. I'm going to go after God's best, and I refuse to allow myself to go back. It's a perseverance. I will obtain the promise that God has for me. Listen, many of you here have had God speak to you about promises in your life. Many of you here have had God speak to you about things. You've had things, words have been given to you. The word of the Lord has come to you and spoken a promise in your life. And some of you thought, you know, is it ever going to come to pass? Is it ever going to happen? Is it ever? And you want to give up. And I say today, don't give up. Persevere. Stay steadfast in him, realizing that God, if God said it, it's going to come to pass. God does not make false promises. Persevere. Let's look at the cycle now. This week, we talked about it last week. Let's talk about it again this week. Joshua and Caleb had different convictions. Wow, they had different convictions than the other 10 spies. They brought about a different perspective that resulted in a different response that produced a different destiny. They possessed the land that God had for them. Joshua and Caleb, they had the land. They possessed the land. They were the ones who entered to the promised land. The other 10, they died in the wilderness because they refused. They refused to have the right attitude. They refused to have the right spirit. They refused to persevere. They got so much concentrated on the fear and the problems and the things they had to do. Man, they exaggerated. They said, we are just like grasshoppers in their sight. Now listen, how many... has ever seen a grasshopper? Can you imagine these grown men saying, I mean, the perspective of being a grasshopper, I mean, these guys would be back to size bigger than this building. It's impossible. It didn't happen. I mean, they were exaggerating their problems. They're saying these guys are twice our size, or these guys are a head taller than us. They said, we're like grasshoppers. I mean, listen, when you get to focus upon the negative, you see things and you exaggerate. God says, I want to bless those who persevere. I'm going to bless those who hold on to the promise. Let's bow our heads this morning. We realize today that God has a promise for you and I. God has a place, a best place that he longs for you and I to live. And we can make a choice. We can choose to be like the 10 spies who were negative, who wanted to give up. Or we can say, God, I want to be like Joshua. I want to be like Caleb. I want to learn to focus upon the right things. I want to choose to have a good attitude. It starts right there. I am choosing to have a good attitude. I am choosing the way of the Lord. I'm choosing to believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. I'm choosing to believe that God's given me a promise. I'm going to stick to that. I'm choosing. I'm choosing to trust in the Lord. I'm choosing not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. I'm choosing to walk in faith. I'm choosing to have a different spirit that doesn't let go of the Lord when I go through times of problems, times of struggle. But I'm choosing to persevere and to hang and hold strong in the Lord. If your head's bowed this morning, I just want to ask you, if you're here today, it's Pastor Gene, and she's talking, I can realize that, man, I've allowed myself at different times to possess this bad attitude. Attitude of fear, negative attitude, or just wanting to quit at times. And today, I want to make a decision in my heart that I'm going to take on the spirit of Joshua. I'm going to take on the spirit of Caleb. And I'm asking God today to help me take on that spirit. If that's you today, God's speaking, you can just raise your hands. That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else here today? That's Pastor, that's me. Man, God's speaking to me. I got to learn to take on the spirit of Joshua and Caleb and ask God to help me not to give up, but to persevere. Anybody else today? That's you. Thank you. One more time. Anybody else? That's you. You want to raise your hands? That's me. I want to make a decision today. Several hands that went up today. We're going to close out in prayer, so I want you to stand up this morning. Let's do this. Can we all just lift our hands to heaven? It's a sign of surrender to God. God, today, Lord, we surrender our hearts to you. God, we give our lives to you. And Lord, I pray today, Father, especially for those who raised their hands and said, hey, God, we're tired of giving up. We're tired of possessing negative attitudes. But God, we're going to learn to walk, Lord, in the strength of you, who you are. We're not going to walk in fear, but we're going to choose to put on a good attitude. We're going to choose to think positive. We're going to choose, God, to put on your spirit, which brings peace. God, we're not going to walk in fear, and we're not going to give up when it gets hard. But God, we're going to persevere. We're going to hang on to the things of the Lord. And Father, I pray for every person who raised their hand today, especially those who raised their hand and said they want to possess this spirit today. That God, you are changing them, Lord, from the inside out today. God, the hand they raised was a start, God, of something you're going to do, that they're going to get up today, and when they leave here, they're going to put on a good attitude. And when they get up tomorrow, they're going to put on a positive attitude through your Holy Spirit. It says, I can be an overcomer through Jesus Christ. God, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I can obtain the promise that you called me to. I can have a better marriage. I can be a better father. I can be a better mother. I can be a better wife. I can be a better husband. I can be a better Christian. I can be a better witness. I can be a better employer. I can be a better boss. I can be a better influence for Jesus Christ. I can obtain the place that God has for me. I can't get past the struggle I'm in. I can't get past the sin I am. I can't get past this habit that I have. I can't break through these things. I refuse to go back and be the person I was. But I'm going to press forward in you, Jesus. I'm going to obtain the place that you have for me. The promised land you called me to walk in. Father, through your Holy Spirit today, Lord, I pray that you empower each person that lifted their hand today, that I ask that they want to make that decision, God. May your Holy Spirit right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, impart into him a courage today. May a new boldness rise within them, God. May a new courage, may a new attitude. God, may you take away our stinking thinking, God, and put on a great attitude, God, a positive attitude today. That we see things through the way Jesus calls us to see things. May we see things through a new glass today, God. As we take a hold of your spirit and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, to your will. Yes, Lord, to the things of God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Now, let's just praise the Father. We thank you, God, for you're an awesome God. That, God, you lead us to the land of promise. That, God, you don't allow us to stay in our slave state of sin and bondage. God, you have freed us. And, God, you're calling us to a deeper level in you. You're calling us to walk into a promised land. And, God, we're going to go forward. We're not going to stay where we are. We're not going to allow negative things to influence us, negative words, negative people. But, God, we're going to stay steadfast on the call of Jesus Christ in our life. We're going to stay steadfast to the call upon our family. And, God, we're going to persevere. We're saying yes to you, God. Yes to you today, God. In Jesus' name, we say amen and amen. God bless you today. You hug a neck today before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. Say, God bless you. Enjoy your time this week with your family. You have a great Thanksgiving.